Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. The hadith of Safiya, what do we learn from it? Well, we learn from it that the dowry can be something material, something that is related to finance and money, because the Prophet ﷺ freed her and made freeing her mahar. So actually her dowry or mahar is equivalent to her price in the market, being a slave. So this is clear and direct. Now, moving on to the other hadith, who would read it for us? Hadith number 316.
Sahal bin As-Sa'idi, Allah be pleased with him, reported. A woman came to Allah's Messenger, may peace be upon him, and said, Messenger of Allah, I give myself to you in marriage. She stood there for a while. There stood upon a person from amongst his companions and said, Messenger of Allah, marry her to me if you have no need of her. He, the Prophet, said, Is there anything with you which you can give as a dowry? He said, Only this lower garment of mine. Thereupon Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, If you give her your lower garment, you will be without a garment. Go and look for something. He said, I can't find anything. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Try to find something even if it were a ring or iron. The man came back, unable to find anything. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Do you know any part of the Quran? He said, Yes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, I have given her to you in marriage with the part of the Quran which you know.
Okay, now this long hadith has lots of issues that we would like to know and learn. The first issue is, a woman comes and gives herself to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam for marriage. This can only happen to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. No one else can share this. So if a sheikh or an imam or a judge or a ruler, a woman comes to him and says, I give myself to you in marriage, and said, wow, definitely. Now this is unacceptable at all. This is mentioned in Surah Al-Ahzab, where Allah Azza wa Jal permits certain types of women to the Prophet, and among them, if a woman gives herself to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So the Prophet looked at the woman and then he looked down. But he did not want to hurt her feelings by saying, I don't want to marry you. He did not want to reject her like that. So a man stood up from the Prophet's companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, O Prophet of Allah, if you have no interest in her, marry her to me. I want to get married. And the Prophet alayhi sallam is the guardian, of course, of all women. The Prophet is the guardian of all women in the sense that he is the Prophet of Allah. So he acts as a guardian, especially if this woman did not have a guardian. So by him not accepting to marry her, he became the guardian, or at least maybe her guardian was there and was approving, Allah knows. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, do you have something, meaning, do you have dowry, mahar? And the man says, no, all what I have is my lower garment. If you give her your lower garment, you'll be without a garment. So what kind of mahar is this? This is not logical. So the Prophet told him, go and look for something. The man went and said, sorry, I couldn't find anything. Nothing? Go look for something, even if it is a ring made of iron. And the most authentic opinion is that wearing iron is forbidden. So this was before it was abrogated. It was permissible. Then it became abrogated to wear iron, because this is the jewelry of the people of fire. So we do not wear iron. We wear copper, it's okay. We wear silver, we wear anything else other than iron or gold. So the man said, I looked, but I could not find anything, not even something that has no value, a ring of iron. So the Prophet asked him, alayhi salatu wasalam, do you have anything from the Quran? Do you memorize anything from the Quran? Are you a learned person? And he said, yes, I have surah so and so. So the Prophet ﷺ said, I give her to you in marriage for what you have of the Quran. meaning that you will come and teach her the Quran. So this is her dowry. So hadith of Safiya is something financial. The hadith of Sahl ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi is spiritual or something that is not materialistic. So teaching her something, she cannot go and sell it, but it is considered to be as a dowry. And this means that the dowry can be this or that. And the hadith illustrates as well the kindness of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It illustrates that anything that can be taught can be accepted as dowry. And also it gives us how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and how the companions lived, because they were so poor to the extent that they owned nothing, zero. And now we complain about our financial status. Oh, I need money, I have this and I have that. Look at how they lived at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. They had nothing, literally nothing, to own or to possess except what they were wearing. And also, it shows us that if a person was poor, this does not mean that he cannot marry. If he's physically fit and he tries to make ends meet, though he's rock bottom poor, yet he can get married in order to preserve his chastity. Do we have any questions? Okay, in the remaining time, we have, inshallah, enough time.
Who was the wali of Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha when Prophet Muhammad got married to her?
When the Prophet والسلام, took Safiya from Dihya and gave him compensation, who became her master? The Prophet. This means that the master of a slave girl can marry her without witnesses, without a guardian, and without giving her mahar that is equivalent to the others, because he's the master. So from this hadith we learn that when a master marries his slave, though he's not obliged to do it, you know that we've gone through that before, yet he does not require a wali because he is her wali, and he does not require witnesses because he's the owner of that slave. And by freeing her, he has the allegiance, al-wala. And this is what the scholars say about this issue. Yes, brother.
My question is from the previous hadith, as it is not allowed to mingling of the opposite sex, like, you know, cannot share the same space between the woman and the man. Then what will be the ruling nowadays? I've been to, you know, so many Islamic lectures where some organization do organize these Islamic courses where they call upon the people in a, they book an auditorium, but they did not give any segregation between the men and women. They just, you know, make the men sit in the front rows and women in the back rows. And also during the break, they share the same table for the, you know, distribution of the teas and, you know, some breakfast and all. So what will be your ruling on this kind of Islamic courses?
In such auditoriums where you have men in the front and women at the back, there is no problem. It's like masjid. So there is no problem as long as the women have their own entrance gates to come in and out of. In the common hall or the common room where in the breaks they go, if there's mixing and they are getting the food and they're eating in stalls and it's free mixing and looking at each, this is completely prohibited. Unfortunately, nowadays, the Islamic rulings are so liquid and so soft to the extent that it does not relate to Islam. I've seen some conferences, without calling countries, but it's free countries, where you have women and men sitting next to each other. To the extent that you go to some of the masjids, the funny masjids in these countries, and you find the imam is a woman and the men praying behind. I saw this on the video. There's a masjid in America, and this shows you how stupid and pathetic people are. They are not related to Islam. You find a woman leading the prayer, and behind her in the first row, a man and a woman, and a man and a woman. The woman calling for the adhan is not wearing hijab. And the funny thing is that the woman, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, praise be to Allah, the Lord of the Dominions. What is this? And she's praying jama'ah, she's translating every ayah. Why don't you sit and make a commentary as well? What prayer is this? This is total innovation and it does not relate to Islam. And in some cases, this nullifies Islam altogether. Even if she wears the hijab and the people pray behind, they are ignorant. They are the people that know nothing of Islam and they are destroying Islam by what they're doing. So this is unacceptable. In conferences where you have mixing of men and women, also this is not acceptable, mixing, sitting in the auditorium. There has to be segregation. The speakers should also be warned of such incidents, and this depends on the speakers measuring things. Sometimes the speaker knows that this is haram, but he delivers the message that no one else dares to deliver, because all the other speakers give a picture about Islam that is not Islamic. So they portray a religion that is called Islam, but it's not Islam. Sometimes a speaker comes who follows the Quran and the Sunnah, though the audience is not practicing and they're having this mixing, he thinks and believes that no, someone has to say the word of truth to them in their faces. So he goes there. This is dependent on his ijtihad, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.